Father, we just pray as we look at these words from the Bible, from Mark's Gospel, words about Jesus, but actually words about all of us, and how Jesus wants to be at work in all of our lives. And so we pray that you'd give us receptive hearts, give us minds that engage and understand, and also wills that are humble and willing to listen and respond. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something which, on the one hand, is very British, but is also quite un-British. So turn to the person next to you and give them a good handshake. Now, of course, a handshake is very British, but doing it to someone next to you don't know, very un-British. So sorry if you found that awkward, but well done for complying anyway. A handshake or touch, such an assumed thing, touch. We communicate so much through touch, don't we? Care, a hand on the shoulder, affection, reassurance. Now, just imagine with me having a condition that means no one has touched you for years and years. Okay, more than that, you've actually been cast out of society, declared unfit, unclean, dangerous. That is leprosy in the first century. Okay, it's a brutal skin condition that was highly infectious and deemed incurable. So, I mean, just think about it. You come down with leprosy, your health, gone. Your family, gone. Your community, gone. Your ability to worship at the temple, gone. Your self-worth, surely, gone. Untouchable, unacceptable, unlovable, the ultimate outcast. With that in mind, just try and imagine your way into this man's heart and soul as we read from verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. This is vintage Jesus. Okay, no matter how unlovable you feel yourself to be, Jesus holds out his hand to touch. Okay, it's not just a skin disease, as in this case, whether it's guilt or shame or emotional pain or isolation or simply ignoring emptiness, Jesus has the same power to touch us. But here's the striking thing that we're going to see together today. If it wasn't for an early morning wrestling in prayer and a willingness to walk away from the most impactful and impressive day that Jesus had yet experienced, Jesus would never have met that leper. Just back up with me to verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, he exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." And so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. You can imagine it, can't you? Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. You've made it. Fame, popularity, right here. No need for you to go anywhere else. And Jesus just looks at them in the eyes and says, "We're off." And he walks away from all of it. And if he hadn't done that, that leper would never have been touched. And who knows how many others would not have been reached. And here's the big lesson, I think, that we learn as Mark puts these two passages next to each other and that we're going to spend the next few moments digging into. It's this. The word must go out because everyone is welcome in. That's the big lesson. The word must go out because everyone is welcome in. We'll take one half at a time. So the word must go out. Let's just remember how it's been going for Jesus so far. So verse 33, This is such an understatement. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, by anyone's standards, that is a great start to your ministry. But what we see here is that there is something that Jesus cares about more than the impact that he's having. Do you see what that is in verse 35? While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Do you see what he cares about more? What he wants the most is to be in his Father's will. Okay, not to do what the crowds are clamoring for, but to fulfill what his Father God has sent him for. And so he takes himself off to pray. Amazing that, isn't it? The Son of God, with all authority, totally dependent on his Father. And by the way, this is prayer as it's meant to be. Whenever you see Jesus praying, you know, not a formula, not a ritual, and not these or thous. This is the expression of a close and heartfelt relationship with God. And if you've not experienced that yourself, that is what the Christian faith has to offer. But it means as Jesus goes up, he says, look, I want my Father's will more than just what the clamoring crowds want. It means that when the disciples finally hunt him down, he is crystal clear on what he needs to do. And so verse 38, he says, let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. Do you see, in prayer, Jesus has re-clarified the very purpose for which God has sent him. Not just to be a wonder worker and to have a big splash and a big impact, but to be a preacher, a proclaimer. And not just to preach, but to go out and to keep going out preaching. You see, the heart of the good news that Jesus brings is a message, and that's what we've already seen. So verse 14, do you see at the beginning, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Jesus comes with good news that needs to be proclaimed, a message that you can only encounter if someone speaks it to you. And so off Jesus goes, verse 39, he travels throughout Galilee preaching and backing that preaching up as he casts out evil in every place that he finds it as well. Now, it's worth just saying here, Jesus isn't saying that miracles are unimportant. Last week, we saw how they show his unique identity, how they give us a taster of the kind of kingdom that he has come to establish. But he is saying that the priority, if you like, is getting the message out. Okay, the good news that Jesus has come. And it is such good news. He's come to restore us people back into a relationship with the God who made us. Okay, people who are naturally disconnected from him. Actually, the Bible makes it clear. People who are naturally in rebellion against him under his judgment. And yet Jesus comes with good news. He brings forgiveness, restoration, hope of eternal life, a restored intimacy with God now, a message of staggeringly good news. And Jesus says that, whatever else happens, that has to be the priority. The message must go out and must keep going out. That is the Father's will. And of course, it continues to be his will today. This good news that came to an amazing climax as Jesus died on the cross for our sins, rose again to new life. This news, you see, is too good not to keep going out. Now, as we just kind of press into this for a few moments, there were two major threats to that news going out that we see here in Jesus' ministry. I think we face the same threats ourselves today. The first threat is that the priority of the message gets lost in the huge practical and social needs that we encounter. So just think yourself into Jesus' shoes here. I mean, the needs that he met were huge. And unlike us, he could actually do something about them just like that. But Jesus is clear, whilst he will go on meeting those needs, he cannot allow them to prevent him from fulfilling what is essential, which is speaking and proclaiming the message, the good news. Because you see, the good news provides not just the temporary fixes that the healings did, they provide an eternal healing and restoration, this good news. Now, kind of zooming into our own context, even here in Henley, the social needs are desperate. The loneliness, the isolation, the addictions, kids struggling, families tearing themselves apart. Now, if we have a shred of Jesus' compassion, we must act in the face of those challenges. But if we're to be like Jesus, we must also have his resolve to keep proclaiming the good news as the very heart of what we do in the midst of those practical and social needs. Because actually, no matter what the social needs might be, the ultimate thing that our community needs, the ultimate thing that each of us needs, is the good news of Jesus. So what do we do? Well, we need to pray. Lord, just help me to remember your ultimate will. Not just that people are helped, but that people understand the good news about Jesus. To pray, center ourselves like Jesus did in God's will afresh. Okay, so that's the first threat to the good news going out. You know, we may be out there in the community, but we haven't got the message. We've let that get kind of swallowed up in all the other needs. Here's the second threat that Jesus faced, and I think we also face, and it's the threat of becoming static with the message. We got the message, but we're just static. We're not going out in the way that it has to. Now, Jesus' particular calling was to start in Israel. So do you notice how in verse 30, verse 39, he's preaching in their synagogues. Okay, he starts with Israel. That's part one. Part two, though, is that it expands actually to the ends of the world. This is the part of the plan that we're in at the moment. Okay, stage two is the message goes out. And the point is this: if the gospel were a pair of shoes, they would be running shoes, not slippers. Okay? Now, people know that I'm a runner, right? I mean, let's push this analogy a little bit more. If they were a particular kind of running shoes, and I realize this is getting a bit niche for some of you, but I'm going to press on anyway, they would be trail shoes rather than road shoes. You see, because this good news can't just be confined to the main streets and thoroughfares. It's literally got to go out everywhere. Okay, it's run, the gospel is running shoes, not slippers. But here's the thing that our culture tells us. They say, yeah, you know, it's fine if Jesus is like a pair of slippers. It's fine, keep him at home for goodness sake, in your own private life. But don't take Jesus out of the house. You know, you don't go to work in your slippers. Don't take Jesus to work. Don't take Jesus to the school gate. Whatever you do, just keep Jesus to your own private, personal, comfortable slippers kind of life. And Jesus says, you do not know how good this news is. It is not a pair of slippers. It's a pair of running shoes. Go with all the haste you can, as far as you can, to get this good news out there. To use another analogy, the good news of Jesus is meant to come into us as a river, not as a pond. Okay, so rivers flow out, ponds are static. And just like a pond, you know, if the good news gets stuck in us, it will eventually stagnate in us. Okay, we'll gradually forget how wonderful Jesus is, how much he's done for us, how transformative it is to know him. But become a river, and the good news will always feel fresh and good. You know, it's so often in the process of sharing Jesus with others that we remember how wonderful he is. Now listen, that's a danger for me individually, becoming a pond rather than a river through which the good news flows out. slippers rather than running shoes. But if it's a danger for me individually, we've got to, I think we've got to say it's a danger for us as a church as well. So the number of times people say to me something like, oh boy, it's amazing you've got so many families and children coming to your church at Trinity at 4. It's just, you know, so wonderful. I even had a meeting with the bishop this week and he said that. He said, look, Sam, it's a marvelous thing. It's all going so well. And, you know, we just think, yeah, you know, we're going just fine. We're viable. Job done. We become static. Stagnant. I mean, sure, we've got a lovely church family. It is a joy to be part of this church family. But Jesus refused to get comfortable. Great to have a good number here today. But what about the 12,000 in this town? What about the 50,000 if you draw a 5-mile radius from it? See, if we're going to be anything like Jesus here, we've got to be thinking, where does the gospel need to go next? And can I say, if you want a turbocharged, exciting vision for church, this is it. Okay, not stagnating in this building together, but thinking, where can we take the gospel next? Okay, that might be groups within Henley. What can we do to bring this good news to the teenagers, to the isolated, to the elderly, to the sports club that I'm a part of? And of course, at some point, we have to think more widely as well. Let's not just aim to grow a church in Henley. Let's aim to develop and strengthen a whole network of gospel-preaching churches across South Oxfordshire. And you're thinking, well, that sounds a bit bonkers. It's what Jesus would have done, though. Because the whole direction of the good news is never inwards, but always outwards, outwards, outwards. And if that seems hard, remember how it started with Jesus. In prayer, realigning himself with God's will. Remember, as the Spirit descended on him to empower him for his ministry, and how, actually, as we trust in him, the same Spirit empowers us for this work. The word must go out. That's the first thing we see here. Here's the second. The word must go out because everyone is welcome in. And this takes us back to the leper. Now, what Jesus does, I mean, you read it and you just think, oh yeah, Jesus heals a leper. But think about it. It is remarkable. Verse 40 again. He begs him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, indignant, reaches out, touches him. I am willing, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, this is remarkable because if anyone else touches a leper, the infection spreads from the leper to the healthy person. But with Jesus, it's the other way around. His wholeness spreads to the unhealthy. And of course, if he can do that for such an outcast as a leper, he can do it for any of us, no matter how broken or outcast we may feel. But to understand the full impact of what Jesus does here, we need to notice some specific language that he uses. Did you notice, I wonder, as we read through, how often Jesus uses the language of being clean? Verse 40, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Verse 41, be clean. Verse 43, he sends him away with a strong warning, show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifices for your cleansing. You see, it's such a strong focus on being clean. Even that odd commandment of Jesus for him to not say anything, that's a bit odd given what we've just seen. But it's not so much that he's not to say anything, it's more that the priority for him is to go to get himself properly declared as clean. Jesus is thinking the most important thing with this leper is he must be declared clean, cleanliness. And here's the thing that we've got to understand. For the Israelite people, that is not just about hygiene and infection. Cleanliness was a spiritual category. Being unclean left you cut off from God and from his people. And that's why it's such a big deal that Jesus comes to make, not just to cure him, but to make him clean. Not just a removal of the infection, as wonderful and miraculous as that was, but a removal of the thing that left him cut off from God. And as Jesus continues in his ministry, he will make it abundantly clear that whilst we may not have the same physical symptoms as the leper, all of us have a condition that is incurable, destructive, and also leaves us cut off. And that is a condition the Bible calls sin. Now, here's how one no-nonsense 19th century writer put it. There is a foul soul disease which is ingrained into our very nature and cleaves to our bones and marrow with deadly force. That disease is the plague of sin. Like leprosy, it is deep-seated disease, infecting every part of our nature, heart, will, conscience, memory, and affections. Like leprosy, it makes us loathsome and unfit for the company of God and unmeet for the glory of heaven. Like leprosy, it is incurable by any earthly physician and is slowly but surely dragging us down to the second death. And worst of all, far worse than leprosy, it is a disease from which no mortal man is exempt. We are all in God's sight as an unclean thing. Now, there's kind of 19th century language there. But it's making the point, I think, very powerfully. Some of us will feel that uncleanness before God more than others. Actually, some of us don't really feel it at all. But whether we feel it or not is neither here nor there, because it is true, it's a reality, that that is what our sin leaves us like before God, unclean. But you see the good news? Jesus came to make us clean. To take it all away, whatever blocks us from knowing God. Jesus says, be clean. But it cost him. Look at verse 45. Instead, the man goes out, he talks freely. And isn't this interesting? As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Do you see, he's traded places with the leper. Who was the outcast before? It was the leper. Who's the outcast now? Jesus. It's just a small foreshadowing of the ultimate lonely place that Jesus went to as he walked to his death on the cross and hung there as the ultimate outsider in our place. There at the cross, every last fleck and spot of sin fully paid for, completely washed away. So that for those who hear this good news and trust in Jesus, no matter how much of an outsider they may have been or felt, they are welcomed in. You see, the compassion that Jesus has for that leper, he has for everyone. There is no person, no place, too ruined by sin, too distant from God, for Jesus to completely cleanse and restore. It's amazing, isn't it? It includes you. And that is why the good news must go out. Do you see, as we come back full circle, the good news must go out because everyone is welcome in. Okay, Christianity is not a niche club for the religious. It is a restoration which all of humanity needs, that Jesus offers freely for all who come to him. No exceptions. That's why we support pastors on the other side of the world to bring the good news to their parts of the world. That's why we refuse to get comfortable as a church, but always adapt and change for the sake of the outsider. That's why we pray, Jesus, send me out for you, wherever that may be. You see, only Jesus and the good news he brings can cleanse us, heal us, ransom us, restore us, forgive us. Only Jesus can transform spiritual outcasts into sons and daughters with an eternal inheritance. That's what he longs to do for each of us. The good news must go out because everyone is welcome in. Let's close with prayer. We praise and thank you, our Lord Jesus, for your great love, your huge compassion, that your touch brings wholeness and healing and restoration, brings forgiveness, a certain hope of eternal life. And yet we know that came at great cost, and so we praise and thank you for it. And Lord, wherever we are today in our walk with Jesus, however much or little we know, we just pray that you'd be touching lives here and now. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.